Turn with me in your Bibles this afternoon to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. What awesome singing from seniors and young adults alike. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Just open Ephesians chapter 6 and we'll read a verse in a minute. Father, we thank you that we saw this morning that the kingdom of hell was pushed backwards. Lord, you conquered the enemy powerfully this morning, and we're believing that this afternoon we are going to see chains fall to the ground, people released, and Lord, again, the kingdom of darkness plundered. Hallelujah. And that your name be glorified in this place one more time. Jesus, we give you thanks. We enjoy your presence. Thank you for the absolute joy of being here with you. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. I've entitled this message, From the Snake Pit to Songs of Deliverance. The verse I want to talk about in Ephesians is verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is culminating a letter to this Ephesian church that history tells us years later ceased to exist. Yet we see so powerfully that in this epistle to the Ephesians that he goes from a collective message to the singular. He addresses individuals. We may come together in a collective form like this called the church, but you individually are also the church of Jesus Christ. And it's this verse 18 that has settled with me. Actually, I had another message that I was prepared to preach and was ready to preach. And I said, I went to a Thursday night prayer meeting and we started praying and God began to lead. And it was just such an awesome meeting. And a thought dropped into my heart. And after the meeting, I said to Pastor Patrick, I said, oh, I got this feeling God's changing the message. I just don't like that. I like to have something already prepared and you've well rehearsed. And then Thursday night, God changed it. By Friday, I was looking in the scriptures and God had changed the message. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's the verse that has just attracted my attention. I looked up a couple of other verses in the Bible where the word watch, this says watching thereunto with all perseverance. Matthew chapter 26, 41 says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mark 13, 33, take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Luke 21, 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Sometimes I think that we have forgotten that we are still in a battle. We're still in a war. Most people live off other people's spiritual lives. Have you ever noticed that? Most people live off other people's prayers. They always say, will you pray for me? That's a sure indication they're not praying. If you want to make half the congregation happy, just begin your message by saying, in conclusion. And everybody's going to say, great, he's at the end already. And we haven't even started. You see, the cross evoked tremendous disgust, but it's become is a beautiful jewelry. Yet at the cross, the devil did his worst, but God did his best. He gave us an incredible victory at the cross. We are called to watch with all perseverance. A few years ago, in fact, it's like 4 years ago, we had the charge of two of our little grandchildren. They must have been 3 and 4 or 4 and 5, but they were little, you know, knee-high to a grasshopper, and we had charge of them. We'd get them for like 3 or 4 days, and we'd delight in these little creatures in our house. And so we had these two little beasts in our house, and suddenly the house went strangely quiet. You know those, when you've got these children, there's this, always this yabba, yabba, yabba. There's always noise. There's always something breaking, always something slamming, always. There's just a continual rumble of noise. And it's amazing what can come out of things this big, but it happens. But everything went strangely quiet. And I called up to Nolene, and I said, "Honey, are the kids with you?" Because we live at a little condo by a lake. And she said, "No, I thought they were with you." I said, "Oh, no." And I ran down to the basement, and sure enough, the door was open. And there were these two kids on the grass, literally feet away from the water. My hair stuck on end. And every bone in my body just began to get cold and quaky as I thought, "God, not on my watch." I could never handle coming out and seeing these kids have fallen in the water. Didn't take me 3 seconds. Folks scooped them up with a great smile. "Great to see you having fun, guys." Grabbed them, brought them inside, got them in the car, and went to the hardware store. Bought myself a lock and chain, drove back home, and screwed it at the top of the door where little hands can't reach, and put the lock on that thing. And I thought, you can't watch, you cannot take your eyes off of these kids for 3 seconds. Boom, they're gone. And I thought, not on my watch. Both doors, front and back, got locks and chains. From that day on, they can open up, but they can't get through 3 inches of chain, folks. See, this is what I think Paul is talking about when he says, watching with all perseverance. You can't stop. You can't stop watching. Even though they get bigger. Now let me just give you the end of this little story, why I'm saying it. Since they've grown, they've had two more kids. They've got two siblings now. 3 and 4. You forget, as the little ones got bigger, that they're now more obedient. They don't go outside. But we forgot about the chains. This is 4 years down the road. And this is just 2 days ago. And I hear the doorbell ring. And I think, who's at the door? The two older ones are there. So I rush around the corner, and there are the two little ones outside. They'd been playing in the street. Folks, I don't know about you, but I don't handle this stuff well. I can handle a lot of things, but I don't handle this. Guess what? Back on the chains went. Back on the chains. And the Holy Spirit just began to speak to me. You cannot, you can never stop watching with great perseverance. And he says that you can do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can watch with perseverance, fervently, deep-rooted faith, watching so that the enemy doesn't get in. Put the chain on. Don't let the enemy get in. In this case, it's not letting the kids out, but in this case, it's not letting the enemy come on in. Praying with all kinds of prayer, the Bible says. It says here in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That means there's going to be different kinds of prayers that we're going to be praying. With all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're called to watch with perseverance. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, how often do you watch for those round about you and pray for them? Now I'm going to do something that Pastor Claude Hood loves to do. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm watching for you. Not watching you. Guys, be careful. Be careful, young people. Watching for you in prayer. Watching in prayer with all perseverance. I pray in the Holy Spirit. This facade of English quietness and goodness is only but a facade and an accent. Behind the veil of the English facade is someone who loves to pray in the Holy Spirit. I love to pray in the Holy Ghost. There are times that I'll march up and down in our house. We'll just be marching up and down. My wife is more a quiet, distinct prayer. I am the opposite. I love to rant and rave and pray and come against the enemy. It's just, and I make no apologies. I think of three things in my life that are significant spiritually. Over 37 years, there's three things that I look back that are significant in my life. One, getting saved. Two, getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And three, understanding covenant. In the natural, getting married is a priority to me, and my children and grandchildren and the body of Christ are all priorities. But in the spiritual realm, it is when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. It's that praying in the power of the Holy Ghost, because there comes times where there are urgent prayers. There are times when we can pray every day over situations, but there's moments when everything invokes within us an urgency to pray. And when we can't grasp it with our understanding, we pray in the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what we have need of, exactly how to come against the enemy. And the great thing is that the devil doesn't understand what you're saying. That's why it's powerful. I think of just 4 months ago, in the prayer meeting, we got a request. A lady came to us and said, there's a young man in his late 20s and early 30s, and a Christian young man, fervent for the Lord, serving God, suddenly was taken by seizures. Suddenly these seizures came upon him. Boom, boom, boom. And then she said, and without anything that was noticeable on the exterior, he went into a coma. Just straight into a coma. And she brought the request to us that Thursday night. And here at Times Square Church, we believe that everybody has a voice. Introvert, extrovert, everybody has a voice. God can listen to all of us praying at the same time, folks. And it's all distinct to Him. Amen? And we brought this request to 600 to 700 people. And the roar of crying out to God for this young man who had gone into a coma, unexpectedly just boom, into a coma. And they tried to resuscitate him. Nothing was working. He was boom, in this deep sleep. And so we prayed. You should have heard the roar as men and women began to cry out to God. God, you can do this. You can perform this miracle. There comes times, beloved, when there's an urgency to pray. That we can pray for family, we can pray for those, we can watch the situations, look at your neighbor and say, okay, they might be going through a difficult time, and pray for them. There's times to pray, but there are times when there is an urgency to pray. And we've lifted up our voices that night, and then we went home. I didn't think about it too much again from that point onwards. We'd prayed, given it to God. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months go by. And I hadn't heard anything. And then this last week, we got the testimony. 4 months after we prayed, without explanation, without understanding, without any kind of coercion from this side or that, but in a moment of time, this kid, 4 months in a coma, sat up, his eyes open. After 4 months, we got the testimony this last Thursday. He just sat up and he was awake. He said, how long have I been asleep? He didn't know if he'd been asleep an hour or overnight. 4 months had come and gone. And God spoke to my heart and said, when there comes an urgency to pray, it doesn't matter how long it takes for the answer to come. But when you pray in the power of the Holy Ghost, my answer is sent from heaven and I am about to do a mighty deliverance. My answer has gone. When you pray, when you seek God and you lay hold of Him, God hears these cries and the answer is dispatched from heaven. Folks, I just love it. We can pray for somebody here. They don't even know we're praying, but heaven has already sent the answer to them. And they get it via Holy Ghost power. Amen? You got to just love it, folks. This is what makes Christianity one of the most exciting things to be living for. We've got to know our enemy. The Bible says here in verse 12 of this chapter that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's amazing when you get cut off by that yellow cab that we think that our fight is with flesh and blood. I remember so many times when I'd be in some kind of a spiritual battle going on and temperature rises and maybe different things happen. My wife will always come to me and say to me, "Remember, I am not your enemy." It's so easy that when we get into difficulties that we can look at people and think they are the problem. People are never the problem, folks. We can sometimes think if there wasn't people, we'd have no problems. But it's always the enemy that is the issue that we are fighting against. Jesus used three terms in his teaching. He talked about Satan as the adversary. He used the word Satan, he used the word devil, and he used the word Beelzebub. And when you just flesh it out, it just means an adversary, an accuser. And Beelzebub means the dung god. In other words, you're always going to be in a battle. He's always going to try to degrade you. There's always going to be some kind of temptation. Folks, the devil isn't going to just roll over and say it's quits. You can win a battle today, but Paul says that we have got to keep watching with great perseverance. Don't stop praying in the Holy Ghost. There are times when I get up in the morning and I read and I have my devotions. I don't want to pray. There are times I just am tired. My eyes are heavy. And we start praying and it's just this conundrum of, you know, God bless Sally and God bless Aunt Jane. And who was that other person we said we'd pray for? God, what was that situation that we needed? There are those kinds of times. But I got to tell you that when I start praying in the Holy Ghost, when you don't feel like praying, start praying in the Holy Ghost. And you'll begin to find this power begin to rise up on the inside of you, this desire. There have been times I haven't wanted to pray, but as soon as the Holy Ghost hits that bell, boom, it's like you get up. There's an awakeness. There's a watchfulness that comes upon you. If you're not praying in the Holy Ghost, the devil is going to try to attack you for sure. But everybody who is in that mode of just, and I don't mean that we are weird folks. There are times that I walk down the street speaking in tongues. That is true. Especially when it's busy and I want to get through. I may do that a few times. But to the most part, it is just rising up and saying, God, I don't have the impetus to rise up with the kind of watchfulness you're talking about. It's not in me. I don't have it naturally within me. There's these attacks, there's oppositions, there's always the enemy trying to degrade you, you're no good, you're useless, there's always the temptations, it's always these names that Jesus attached to the enemy. And so what is the answer? Well, there's all kinds of prayer. There's all kinds of times of getting along with God. And he says, I'll put it in your heart. There'll be times when he'll just have you a simple prayer and you know that you've just touched heaven in that simple, quiet prayer. You've prayed and you've believed God and it's a done deal. There's got to be those times. There's all kinds of seasons when God wants to answer prayer. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. The word advantage means to stretch over your plate and take the chicken leg. We have these kids sitting around the table. They've got full plates of food. I don't understand it. But whatever the other kid has, they want. Their plate is full. It's the overreaching. You see, what the devil wants to do, what Paul is saying here in Corinthians, says the devil wants to overreach past you to steal promises from God from your life. He's always trying to overreach you and take things, trying to take an advantage of you. But he says we're not ignorant of his devices, plots, darts, wiles. He plots against the body of Christ, things that take time, that just grow over time. We heard a powerful message this morning. Little things I encourage you, get the message from Pastor Teresa this morning. Little things that don't seem to amount to much becomes a plot of the enemy, because it begins to grow and begins to overtake your life. These are the things that he warns us about. Devices, methods that the enemy uses. There's darts. It says here, it says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Fiery darts, those things that, it's almost like you're going by, you're walking by, and the devil just throws this dart, and it just invokes every kind of emotion inside your thinking. You can have a great devotional time. You can pray, you can touch heaven, and you're on your way to work, just like normal. And boom, he puts this fiery dart, just throws it, in it comes, and it has the tendency to inflame the mind. Just, that's what it's called, a fiery dart. It just, boom, hits you. And something just invokes in your mind. It's in those moments that you've got to pull down every thought and bring it into captivity. And again, folks, I'm not saying that I have the ability to do this all the time. My wife is a great testimony that it hasn't always happened. There's been various times of intense fellowship when something gets into, a dart gets in and something stirs me up and this thing begins to grow. Have you ever noticed that? You stop the thing growing when it starts in your belly. Because by the time it gets to your head, it's going to change the way you hear things. I have been talking to folks who are so mad, they only are listening to hear how they can get the next thought in. It changes the way you see. She's no longer my sweet baboo. Now it's the enemy I'm looking at. It changes the way we see things. Fiery darts. Changes the way we speak. It's in those moments that the Holy Ghost will give you that great courage just to say, I'm sorry, forgive me. On Father's Day, to say sorry to kids, to ask their forgiveness. The one that I want to just take a couple of minutes on are the wiles. It says in verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. These are hidden traps. Ambushments is the correct Greek exposure of this particular verse. An ambushment. The enemy hides lurking. Now you've got to understand, here in the city, he doesn't dig a hole in the sidewalk and put a bear trap. You'd walk around it. You'd see a hole in the sidewalk and walk around it. He can't do that. You don't see a net spread on the stairwell going down to the subway. You'd see it and take another stairway. He doesn't have an open cage with a snap on the lid at your cubicle at the job. You get to your job and you see all these bars and this cage. You'd say, well, I'm not going in there. That thing's going to snap on me. So wiles are not things that we can readily see. It's things that he sets up as an ambush for you. Things like loneliness, a bear trap with teeth. If he can just get you dwelling on that nobody cares, nobody loves you, especially on a day like this, Father's Day, a bear trap of loneliness. I'm going to be alone. I'm never going to have a friendship or a relationship. How about disappointments, unfulfilled expectations in your life, hidden traps and snares that if you can get you into it, and again, like was mentioned this morning, these are little things, that little seed of loneliness, that little seed of disappointment, that little sense of unworthiness that you allow to grow becomes this trap, this endangerment, hurt and pain, mistrust. This city is always a city that goes for the mind. There's always a battle for your mind. If you live in New York City, you'll understand that you are then have come under a severe attack, always for the mind. The battle of the mind, the enemy goes after. How do we combat this? How do we deal with these things? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:26 that we can recover from the snares of the enemy. Waken up. The Holy Ghost can just wake us up as we begin to just give him access to our life, access to our vocal cords. Just begin praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll begin to show you these things that come against you. Folks, the Bible says we're not ignorant to them. Sometimes we act as though we are. But I believe it's because we're not always watching through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, when the 70 returned with joy and saying, "The devils are subject unto us through your name." He said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And I can just see the picture of the second person of the Godhead in heaven as Lucifer tried to lift himself up above the throne of God and was cast down. The whole suggestion of this is that the Son of God was looking at this and beheld that as soon as his plot was revealed, he was cast out of heaven like lightning. It sends a message to say that no matter what power, limited power he has as he comes against you, it's never a match for the power of God. That when you come in the name of Jesus, then every plot, every fiery dart, every attack of the enemy comes down like lightning. Jesus saw him cast down like lightning. I can just see it. You know, folks, if I saw that taking place, I would never fear again. Jesus could come down to earth knowing that this devil has already been powerless, being cast down. It gives a confidence to be able to stand against him. I remember in the one apartment we were living in, and they were redoing the whole courtyard. And apparently it wasn't done by, you know, one group of people who, I don't know, but anyway, they erected this huge blow-up rat. Big rat. I'm talking, you can't touch the top of this blow-up rat. And they have this power source to it. And again, just going back to my grandchildren, two of them from Denver were with us, and little Logan was so afraid of the rat. We'd come out and she'd see this huge rat. And I said, "Honey, it's nothing but a blow up." And she says, "Oh no, Papa, this is a rat. This is a rat. This is a huge rat." And we'd have to come around on the other side of the street and go down the way because she was afraid of the rat. I try to tell her, it's just plastic. It can just come down as there's no take off the air and this thing comes out. Folks, I want to tell you today, the devil portrays himself as this big blown up rat. One little stone punctures him and he comes down like lightning. There is nothing to this. In fact, I'm going to change the name of David and Goliath. I'm going to change that today. I'm going to call it David and the Dwarf. Because that's all the enemy is. He is not this giant that stands and looms before you. Every enemy tactic has been defeated by the power of Jesus Christ. And when you stand in his name, every force comes down. Hallelujah. Folks, I believe this with everything in my heart. We have seen it happen so, so many times. Paul's exhortation then is that when you see the enemy is just but a blown up old rat, he may look great, he may look ominous, he may look like he can attack and bite you with teeth, but he's just hot air when it comes to the name of Jesus. When it comes to the power of the name of Jesus, you can stand and see him collapse into nothing. Now we come back to Ephesians chapter 6, 18. So instead of seeing it as this huge battle that I've got to keep praying, and if I don't, it's going to somehow hinder my walk. Now step back with what I've shared with you this afternoon, and I believe that's how the Apostle Paul is seeing it. He's saying, listen, the enemy is defeated if you stay on the side of God. He cannot come against you. Therefore, you come back to the verse and say, understand what Paul is saying. Therefore, pray always. Now it changes my concept. So when I see something looming up in front of me, I pray. Because I know he's going to come down like just hot air. It gives me a different perspective. He's been cast down by the power of God. And I stand on the side of Jesus Christ, his victory on the cross, and I exercise the name of Jesus, and the victory is won again and again. Hallelujah. Now you understand it. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. And it's given me a whole brand new glimpse as I begin to allow each one of my children and grandchildren and friends and neighbors and pastors and leaders and elders just come up into my mind. It gives me a whole new concept that if I see anyone struggling, it gives me the right to go in. And in the name of Jesus, we can begin to pray. I don't have to expect to see the answer immediately. But I do know one thing, that when I pray in the name of Jesus, that answer is dispatched out of heaven. When we have called on God, God is sending that answer to that problem and to that issue. And it gives me a sense of knowing in all things I can trust him. No enemy is too big to come against us. Amen? Paul, praying with all prayer and supplication, watching. So say to your neighbor, I'm watching out for you. Did you mean that? In faith? Then give God thanks this afternoon. Let's stand together. Lord, this is just an encouragement to get back to praying. I pray this afternoon that those who are coming under attack, who are capitulating, seemingly capitulating right now, under the threat of disaster, under the weight of oppression, Lord, I pray that they will just say to themselves right now, this devil might be big, but God is bigger. Lord, I pray today that we be filled afresh with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon, there's two parts to the altar call that I want to pray for you today. One, obviously, if you feel and you sense that right at this moment, that rat is as real as can be to you. It's looming in front of you and you can't see beyond it. And you need someone just to stand and pray with you. I'm going to invite you just to get out of your seats this afternoon and come to this altar, and we will stand with you in prayer, believing that what is before you, God will change in his timing. God will change it and give you a great direction and bring you a victory in your life in him. And secondly, I felt the unction of the Holy Spirit to say to you earlier in preparing this, that if you need to have a fresh infilling of God's Holy Spirit, that you can pray in the Holy Ghost, we're going to ask him to fill you. If you've never been filled, to come forward. But also, if you are needing a fresh touch, just get out of your seats and let God begin to touch your life this afternoon. Amen? We're going to worship for a couple of minutes. You're free to get out of your seats and you come to this altar. We'll pray with you today.
In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your
Praise God. For those of you who are facing enormous things before you, they can be as real, seemingly as real as the ground you're standing on right now. But in the economy of God, Jesus Christ on the cross dealt with all of these issues. And the person who comes simply honestly to God and says, "Help me. God, help me." If it's just a simple cry, "Help me. God, help me." You don't have to know how it's going to work out, but the simple cry of the heart, He will answer because He's God. And His answer will come in His own way. And you'll be able to look over your shoulder and see that He brought you through the valley and you're on the other side. It's an amazing thing. You'll look back and God would have done it. And we'll be able to return thanks. But this afternoon I'm going to pray for you that God will just give you the courage to face this by faith in Jesus' name and believe that He will guide you through whatever the difficulty is. Just pray with me. Lord Jesus, I thank You this afternoon that You are greater, You are mightier than any attack from the enemy. Today, I put my trust in the finished work of Calvary. Lord Jesus, my simple cry is help. I believe that as You hear my cry, You are already guiding me through to the victory side. You are the victory side. And I rejoice in the God who is my victory. And I thank You. In Jesus' name. Now raise your hands towards heaven and just ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you. Just ask the Holy Spirit right now. Just say, "Holy Spirit, come and fill me." Just every one of you, just pray that in your heart. Just say, "Holy Spirit, come fill me afresh. Come fill me right now with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Give me my prayer language. Lord, thank You right now that You're giving me a prayer language that the devil doesn't understand. But You give it to me to pray that there could be an encouragement in my soul. God, fill me right now. Fill me with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Now, everybody, just use your prayer language right now. Just begin speaking in your prayer language. Just give God thanks in prayer. God, we thank You. Lord, we just thank You right now, very easily, very quietly, very gently, that You are filling and baptizing men and women with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, it doesn't have to be a huge display. We come in faith, simple faith, and say, "God, fill us." And we take You at Your word. Holy Spirit, come fill us now. And we thank You that we are filled afresh in the power of the Holy Ghost, that we can pray in that prayer language. God, draw us into that place of praying with all kinds of prayers at all kinds of times. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You that this is an army. Lord, You have raised up an army of men and women that, Lord, will not be defeated by the enemy. Lord, I see thousands coming out of this house, just marching down the streets. Lord, in sync together, in unity, in oneness. Lord, I see an army just going through the land and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God, we thank You right now. No matter what the onslaught is, there's a power in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, mighty God. Now, if you believe that you've been filled or just refilled this afternoon by God's Holy Spirit with power, give Him thanks all over the house. Just give Him thanks. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't stop praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's Father's Day. We bless all the fathers in the house. There's going to be an incredible meeting tonight. Special meeting that you're going to be blessed for having just stayed, gone out and have some refreshments and come back for all of our first-time visitors. Go through exits 8 and 9. There's some refreshments for you there. The rest have some refreshments and come back to the meeting tonight. Amen? Let's go rejoicing this afternoon. God bless you.